I got my room.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for attending tonight's board meeting. Before we begin, I would like to commend the brave students who came forward and felt comfortable discussing their firsthand accounts with district administration. I ask that we all respect their wishes to maintain their privacy. Coming forward to share their stories was not easy, and we thank them for their bravery. We understand that you have questions and may be frustrated if we cannot answer them. We too are frustrated about what we cannot legally share with the public at this time. We're going to focus instead on what we can share in terms of what has been done and the parameters in which we are required to operate in connection with staff disciplinary matters. We will also discuss what we as a district are going to do moving forward to change the climate and provide pathways for students and staff members to report their concerns. Okay, Razi.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I want to begin by also thanking you being here tonight. As you know, we're all parents. As parents, we want all of our children to always feel safe, and we need them to know that by coming forward, there is always an outlet to safely and courageously do so. We have to do a better job of that. There are good people here that students need to trust. We need to do the important work rebuilding that trust for them, which our internal teams have already begun to identify. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. Allegations taken from victims themselves and firsthand witnesses will always yield the truth after investigative process. And such actions, if founded, are never ever tolerated. Through this process, we have definitely discovered that we must develop better outlets that encourage our students and even staff members to share their stories. They need to know that they're protected in coming forward, that there can be no retaliation, and that we strive to also maintain their confidentiality as best as possible. We have work to do, and we're going to do it. We're going to need your help, and that's definitely going to be our promise. I just wanted to make some comments so all of you are prepped. As we begin tonight's meeting, please be reminded that when speaking at the podium, there is a 3-minute limit per speaker this evening. This way it gives the chance for everybody to speak who wishes to do so. That will be at the conclusion of the meeting tonight. Due to state and federal privacy laws, we cannot entertain any public comments regarding any individual student or any employee or officer of the district. If we up here were allowed to allow defamatory statements be made, it exposes the district and even all of you at a podium for speakers to claim that they have been, for other individuals to claim that you or we defamed them, okay? So I want everyone to be aware of that. We are Zooming this meeting. And tonight, before some action items are voted on, we're first going to hear from our legal counsel, Mr. Stefanetta and Ms. Karen Lemon, who are here tonight. They're going to go into the legal aspects of the investigative process, the requirement of obtaining victim and firsthand witness testimony that will build the district's case. We will also attempt to dispel some social media rumors that are out there, as well as discuss the next steps to help students further educate our staff, as well as even give parents the tools in the next coming weeks and months that they can use at home. So at this point, I'm going to introduce Mr. Gary Stefanetta, who's our legal counsel.
We just have to take what we're expecting, so okay.
Yeah. Plan. Yeah.
So at this point, even though we can't speak about the case, and that is so frustrating for us because we would want to, we can't. But at this point, I can dispel some rumors that are not true. There are no cameras in bathrooms or locker rooms. Those are simply rumors. And I know social media was promoting some of that. And you know, you can't help that, right? You cannot help that, but you need to know. And even though we have annual reporting and procedural training every year with staff and administration that addresses bullying, sexual harassment, any kind of harassment allegations, these trainings, often conducted by attorneys, we also, you know, have every single staff member attest every year that they have read all the policies of the district. But, you know, I'm looking at this, I'm saying there's never enough training. We have to do a better job at that. And, you know, we get that. Even training on implicit bias. All it takes is one incident to throw everybody off course. So that's our job as we move forward. Not only training on all those things, but the required procedures and how we better define our expectations on how people here respond to people in a way so they feel that their complaints are heard and validated. Even though if they're founded enough, they have to have that. Moving forward, you know, more than ever, we have to cultivate trust in our students again, so they feel coming to school that they can rely on good adults who are out there that they can count on. Upcoming parent workshops will be giving parents the tools to reinforce this work with your children you can use at home. And a few minutes, we're going to go into the in-school supports that we're doing now, okay? However, you know, some immediate interventions for you parents, as well as faculty and staff, include the following. So I've had a lot of good emails throughout the week, and I want to thank you for emailing me. And I have to say, I'm usually really good about getting back to emails, 24-hour rule, if not sooner. But if I neglected to answer you, I completely apologize for that. I've been trying to catch up on all of them. What I would be liking to do, and I'm going to be working on a letter this weekend, is we're going to be holding open door days and evenings that sort of mirror like a superintendent's coffee hour. We had one yesterday. It was a good open honest discussion, and we are going to be scheduling those very shortly, you know, where people can come in and talk. We'll have our whole team there. Additionally, we're going to be having a district-wide focus group whose task will be to craft a climate survey that we're going to be giving out to students, parents, faculty, and staff that will guide the good work of ongoing education and ongoing interventions. Not just for this year, but years, you know, to come. I am going to be seeking the help of parents and community members who can offer their professional skills in serving on this team. I'm looking for, you know, an HR professional. I'm looking for maybe mental health professionals. If you do this, if you know anybody, someone in the medical field to join us educators at the table. I've already been reaching out to people who know, and I know who are very capable in this work and willing to help us with this task. So let's talk about the student interventions, whether they be immediate or longer term, and I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Davey.
Good evening, everyone. This week, the guidance counselors, social workers, psychologists, teachers, and administrators gathered to identify some immediate supports we can put into place for our students, and this is what we put into place so far. Every guidance counselor, social worker, psychologist, and administrator met with 7th through 12th grade students during their PE classes to reintroduce themselves. Here's who we are. Here's our office locations. To emphasize the message that schools are safe places and there are adults here to help them and available for them. Support staff really wanted to make sure that they knew that despite which counselor you may have been assigned to, they work as a team. And if you show up at the office at one particular moment and your counselor is not there, they're all there to support. The annual Parents for Megan's Law personal safety presentations were offered to all students in seventh grade this past Thursday, yesterday, and they're scheduled for next Thursday for all eighth graders. This is a video discussion workshop and aims to empower teens and preteens with information, skills, and support they need to keep themselves safe from abuse and abduction. This same support services team continues to research programs and topics specifically in the areas of stress management, mindfulness, and self-care for our students and the staff. We coordinated all of our support efforts across buildings in the district to ensure that our support professionals are available and on call should needs arise in one particular building over another, and also make themselves available to our parents who might have questions should conversations arise at home that you feel unskilled or ill-equipped to handle. Students in the K-6 buildings are supported, as many of you might know, by their teachers' weekly social-emotional curriculum that's been in place. And these units teach specific vocabulary around empathy, identifying their emotions and feelings, and problem solving, and identifying adults who can help them through that process. Support teams have been providing push-in conversations around unity, assertiveness, and how to support one another as students and as a whole school community. Our K-6 social worker, psychologist, and the guidance counselor continue to push into classrooms as well, and during free times in the students' days, to support teachers, to perceive students' feelings and emotions, and to be present just in case any challenges arise that seem out of the ordinary. These professionals are also called on, as I've mentioned, for support to you. So please feel free to reach out to them should the need arise. Parents for Megan's Law presentations are scheduled for K through sixth graders through the month of November. These will be in-person programs similar to the ones delivered up at the junior senior high school level, providing content for students to understand boundaries, how to be assertive about their bodies, and provide them the skills and tools to keep themselves and others safe. These are multi-stakeholder teams, such as the shared decision-making teams and social-emotional teams, continue to spearhead different initiatives to support social-emotional wellness K through 12 students and their families. We attempted to amplify communication streams for all K-12 families and the students through new communication and community resource guide that's posted on our district's website and through a new email address, which will help us receive information, receive concerns, resources, tools that we can share. We receive them and disseminate that information out to this student support team, and we'll follow up and appreciate any resources that can be shared. Email address was shared earlier this week in Mrs. Ronda's letter. It's supportservices@babylonufsd.com. While these are just some of the immediate supports we have in place, we continue to explore other programs and resources. As Mrs. Ronda mentioned, we're in conversation with other groups and professionals in our community to provide the safest environment for our kids, but not only for our kids, but also our students, our staff, and our faculty in areas of self-care and self-management, which might not be immediate, but more longer term. Thank you.
Stefanov, so if you could perhaps walk everyone through the process and potential outcomes.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, folks. My name is Gary Stephan, and I'm one of the attorneys that represents the Board of Education here in Babylon. They asked me to come down tonight. Would you mind my back?
No,
I did want to share with you at the request of the team some information about staff member disciplinary actions in public school setting. It's a lot different than what happens in a private setting. So if you work for a private employer, if you engage in misconduct, they have a reason to get rid of you, they fire you. And as long as it's not for a discriminatory or unlawful reason, you're terminated. In a public school setting, administrators, licensed employees, they are protected by what's referred to generically as the tenure laws. You've probably heard of the tenure process. So when a teacher or an administrator completes 4 years of competent service in a school district, said they earn what's called tenure. And once an employee earns tenure, they can, by law, not be disciplined or reprimanded, except with the filing of formal written disciplinary charges pursuant to a section of the education law that's referred to as section 3020-A. What that requires is formal written charges. It's the only time a school board, such as the folks in front of you, can actually conduct a vote in executive session. Public business is conducted in public, with the one exception of a vote on disciplinary charges. The statute says it's a confidential vote that takes place behind closed doors during executive session. So if there are charges that are brought against a teacher or administrator, the vote on those written charges takes place behind closed doors. And then the hearing itself, that hearing process under 3020A, is a closed door hearing. It's a hearing that's not open to the public. It preserves the rights of the employee to a private hearing on specified charges, where the school district has the burden of proving each and every one of those charges by substantial evidence. And it's not proof beyond a reasonable doubt. It's a lower burden of proof, just by substantial evidence. Hearsay, you know, if you're familiar with the concept of hearsay, when somebody says, well, I heard this about somebody else, that's hearsay, as opposed to eyewitness. Folks who realize that are not involved in the process is that the proceeding takes place over a number of months. It's a closed door proceeding, during which time, by statute, the employee receives full salary and benefits until the end of the proceeding, months later. A number of years ago, back in 2018, the New York State School Boards Association did a great survey of school districts across New York State, and about 45-50% of the districts across the state participated. Back then, the average cost to a school district of a 3020-A proceeding, if you consider the fact that the employees get paid their own salary, plus you have to put a substitute administrator, a substitute teacher in for that individual, the average cost 4 years ago was about $145,000 for a school district. So that process, it's important to know how that works. And the hearing officer, the one that makes the decision on whether or not those charges were sustained by a school district by substantial evidence, the hearing officer is the one that makes that decision, not the school board, not the school administration. So the way that process works by law is the school board and the employees' organization mutually selects a hearing officer from a list of hearing officers that are approved by the New York State Education Department. That hearing officer comes into the district and conducts the hearing. The district is required to put on his proof and establish each and every charge and specification by substantial evidence. If we do that, the next step is, what should the penalty be? The penalty is not determined by the folks sitting in front of you. The penalty is determined by that independent impartial hearing officer that presides over the hearing. A school board is required to accept the determination on the charges as well as the penalty that is set by that independent hearing officer. There's a limited right of review for a school board of a determination from a Section 3028 hearing officer. And you can appeal that into, in this case, Suffolk County Supreme Court. If a hearing officer exceeds the jurisdiction, if they don't follow the law, or if they totally ignore certain facts, limited opportunities to appeal. But the board wanted me to share with you the process so you understood if there's a disciplinary proceeding it's an independent hearing officer, it's a determination by the hearing officer, and any outcome of the hearing is not a recommendation by the hearing officer, but a determination by the hearing officer that the school board is required to adopt. In each case where there are allegations of misconduct, depending on the nature of misconduct, sometimes allegations take on different tracks. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Folks, let me know. What I've been discussing with you is the administrative disciplinary hearing with regard to whether or not an employee's relationship with the school board or employer is separate. That's what happens with a 3028 procedure, an administrator or a staff terminator. That's the extent of what the outcome of that hearing can be. Is a hearing officer could say the charges are sustained, and I am finding that the individual is terminated. Employment stops. Separate from that, in an appropriate case, if a superintendent of schools believes that the conduct of an employee with a license, teaching or administrative license, creates a question as to his or her moral character, a superintendent of schools is under legal obligation to make a referral to the New York State Education Department, Office of Professional Responsibility, in accordance with Part 83 of the regulations of the Commission of Education. That's an obligation of a superintendent if the superintendent determines that there's a reasonable question as to an employee's moral character. In addition to that being an obligation of the superintendent of schools, if you go on the New York State Education Department website, you'll see that anyone with personal knowledge or information that they believe creates a question as to somebody's moral character can also make a report to the same agency. And there's actually a complaint form online. So if anyone is sitting here this evening, or if you're sitting in another school district and you have information about a teacher, administrator's moral character that you have personal knowledge about, there is a forum to address that to the State Education Department, and the complaint form is online. And the board wanted me to make sure you were aware of that as well. And lastly, depending on the nature of allegations against a staff member, a school district can make a referral to the local police department. And in some instances, that referral is based on the school district being the complainant. So an easy example would be if a staff member damaged district property, they could make a referral to the police, and the school district would be the complainant in that referral. There are also instances where the school district itself as an entity is not the complainant, but they're still making a referral, because it's not for the school administration to decide what is or isn't a crime or might be illegal. So in those instances, they're advised and they make a referral, and then it's for the local police or the district attorney's office to decide if something is actionable. But so those are just several of the tracks that allegations that become investigated and take. I'm not referring to any particular incident. These are really generic remarks that are shared board, but that's the process that a school district must follow. And as I say, the board asked me to share that with you folks so that you have an idea of the sort of the playing field and the parameters under which a school district operates with regard to individual employees. So at any given time, a school board is charged with the responsibility of balancing the public's right to know about what's happening in your school with an employee's limited rights to privacy and the statutory process which creates a private hearing. Employee can request a public hearing, employee can request a public hearing, rarely happens. So the process really happens sort of privately. And if you have any specific questions, I'm happy to answer, but that was just a short summary.
Yeah. If you could just also say what potential outcomes would mean not sure. Discrimination.
So as I mentioned earlier, the determination of whether or not a charge is sustained is up to the independent hearing officer. Assuming that a hearing officer sustains a charge or a series of charges, there are any one of a number of potential outcomes from the hearing. However, generally speaking, one of those outcomes is not to surrender or the taking of a license. The way a license is impacted is with the New York State Education Department. That's the agency that issues a license. It's the only agency that can be taken away. When you make a Part 83 referral that I referred to earlier, if a superintendent makes a Part 83 referral, question is something of character, the State Education Department can conduct an independent, separate investigation and hearing, the result of which can be someone either surrendering or them losing a license as an administrator or teacher. So the outcomes from the 3028 could be charge or charges are not sustained by substantial evidence. It's hearsay or there's no live testimony or it's not credible testimony. And that decision gets made by a hearing officer. There also can be charges sustained and a penalty can range from the individual goes back to ministering in the school district or teaching in the classroom. It can be that they receive a period of suspension without pay. And then they come back to employment in the district. It can be that they receive a what's called a letter of reprimand. This is what happened. This is what you did. Refrain from doing this in the future. This is conduct done from the teacher, et cetera, et cetera. And a letter goes in a personnel file. Another potential outcome. Or there can be a fine imposed, monetary fine imposed, and the teacher or administrator is back to work. So any one of those possibilities, termination from service is also a possibility at the end of a Section 3028. So I think I covered all of the potential options.
Yeah.
Thank you. We can recess if you like it up.
Okay, so at this time, we have a motion to enter into executive session for the purpose of discussing the a personnel, student personnel,
we
have a motion to enter into executive session for the purpose of discussing the employment history and discipline of a particular individual. Mrs. Durant, seconded by Mrs. Doese. So we will go into discuss, we'll recess, we will be coming back out. And an action may be taken. There was information that came to the board's attention during the week. Tonight was the first opportunity that the board had to meet and discuss this important matter, which the board is planning to further address and anticipates taking action on at a special meeting that we are scheduling for Tuesday, November 2nd, this coming Tuesday at 7 p.m. The meeting will be here. In the meantime, we also do have a walk-on resolution. Yeah, Mrs. Rossi is going to read.
Okay, this is regarding a probationary appointment of a science teacher. It's resolved that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the probationary appointment of Mr. Ian Walsh, a science teacher effective November 29th, 2021 to November 29th, 2025. Compensation for this assignment will be at BA Step 1 of the 2021-2022 Babylon Teachers Association salary schedule at a cost of $57,623 prorated. Mr. Walsh holds New York State certification in chemistry.
In the time, I have a motion. This is Battieri, seconded by Mr. Duncan. Any discussion? All in favor? Passes unanimously. All right, and at this time, we are going to open up for discussion. So if you could just come to the podium and state your name. Any comments?
I'm afraid.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think this is, I feel like it's not fully on, just better. This time, we're opening up the floor to any comments. So if you would like, please come to the podium and state your name.
My name is Meredith. I have two questions. The last one is why did you hire him for 4 years?
A probationary.
Is
that my call?
Yes, why did you hire for 4 years?
Yeah, it's a probationary position, so it always, the person has, it's for 4 years unless for some reason they are not granted tenure or I have to come back.
So my question would be also, what policy are we following when you make an announcement for tonight's meeting? When you did not fix your subject, and why did you have findings? And why is it?
We didn't know people were standing outside until we heard people, so we apologize for that.
So we were going to be directed for security to not let us in.
Oh, no, that is not true. I'm very sorry.
Security guards told me that, and other people were told that. Do not lie.
Uh-huh.
Let's just be careful.
I'm not going to be very careful.
Right off the bat. Let's
The Board of Education can even attest to that.
So you did not, let's just be straight. You did not tell security.
That's not my
fault. Do not let us in until 7:30.
No.
Gentlemen, thank you.
The notification, I think our attorney is still here. Mr. Stefanetta, if you can join in on that.
I apologize, I can't really hear the question. I heard the court about what policy was the board following.
What policy? Are you turning the microphone on? Can you hear me? I asked, I requested what policy you were following that you did send out the notice without a subject matter for the special meeting.
I have to review the public notice that was sent out by the district clerk and the board's policy.
So well, it did not. I can tell you what the policy is. It was the policy number 2320.
Okay.
And it states that you're supposed to state the subject matter for the special meeting.
Yeah.
And there was no subject matter. People would not know what they were coming here for. And we were given 5 hours notice in the email to know that it was open for the public. So what policy are we following for that?
I would have to review the board's policy, but
it's sad that I know the policy better than anybody here. That's sad. Because you're making up rules as you go along, Robin. You don't get to do that. And I'm going to point out
3 minutes.
Every single
your 3 minutes are up.
When anyone else is up. And made my point.
My name is Lee Huber. First, thank you for calling. And I know Friday night, everybody's very excited about it. My question is, if I missed something, I apologize, but one of the most concerning things that I've been told with the staff is that many people have said that they report to you nothing happened. So my question is the administration also being investigated?
Thank you very much, and thank you for coming tonight. I will tell you, when these kind of things come to us from victims or firsthand witnesses, they have to be investigated. And that is work that we have to do, that moving forward, regarding, when these come to people at various levels. I would hope that they would take these things seriously, and, I thank you for the question.
But specifically, is anyone if people are saying they went to Mr. Cerrone, for instance.
I'm sorry, we cannot use names.
Oh, I'm a little sorry.
Names.
I'm sorry.
And if someone said that they went to a specific administrator,
yes, I would encourage them to continue and reach out to us.
But currently, no one is investigating that part. It's my question. Right now, right? Is anyone following up on those allegations?
Yes.
To see?
Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Please, I don't.
I have a question.
Hello.
Did we learn the outcome of a hearing officer?
That's a great question. I'm not quite certain on that and what level that would come out, and I'm going to defer to counsel on that one. I'm not the expert on that whole process.
In a case where there's a formal disciplinary proceeding brought that goes to its conclusion, then there's a finding and determination by a hearing officer. Those portions of the decision that are sustained or founded may be disposed in response to a properly worded FOIA request. So the allegations that are not founded are redacted, but findings that are sustained can be disclosed pursuant to a properly worded FOIA request.
So a FOIA request would have to be requested.
At conclusion.
So that would include any kind of allegations made to the Board of Education.
Correct. Correct. And I assume.
I think you might be.
Yeah, what is the outcome of a investigation, I guess that's followed up, but I guess there's two ways of looking at it, right? Because there's an allegation that's made to the school, right? The principal and then the board of ed looks into it, and then they could send it, right?
Typically, what we do, we will get our attorneys involved in these kind of cases at all times. If we know that, if victims and witnesses come forward, we have to have witnesses and witnesses and actual people it occurred to. You know, to start investigation. And we take that very seriously. And, you know, we have great attorneys and they even lead our principals throughout the process on, you know, cases that might not come up to this level. Now, regarding reports, Mrs. Stefanet, I think also those reports would be redacted at various parts, right?
If the community member is asking about length of files, that may not be disclosed for sure. May not be exposed to suit the FOIL because it's allegations, but the outcome of a hearing, and I don't know if everybody's familiar with FOIL, I hope you're familiar with it, but it's the Freedom of Information Law request, and it's the section of state law that allows individuals access to certain documents or records, and there are a number of rules about what someone can get. Can't get from a in terms of the document disclosure. The general rule when it comes to discipline of an employee is if there are sustained allegations, so there's a finding of guilt through some, that's what the public does get. Allegations of wrongdoing, unless they're founded, the public generally doesn't get a response to a court order.
So, my other question is when you do ask for witnesses or when you do question witnesses, now I just want to make sure that parents are advised and notified that their children will be questioned.
Yes. When we do them up here, that is always the case. I would hope that the buildings are doing that as well, and that is reinforced.
Okay. Yeah. Even if it's just the principal calling somebody in and following the questions, right? I mean, you would ask the parent to be present, right?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're questioning a student about, you know, where'd you lose your wallet? But,
you know,
this kind of thing, definitely.
Hi, Danielle Spula. I was just wondering, is it still just an internal investigation or has it moved towards criminal investigation?
Unfortunately, we cannot discuss that. Unfortunately,
have
we can't discuss
witnesses it. And people that have been affected and been advised to go to the police?
Yes.
And the kind of help that you're seeking from parents in the community, specifically what? Because I heard you say health, medical, field.
Mental health professionals.
But in terms of having a board and superintendents, what are you seeking specifically from parents?
We're looking for parents who could bring mental health supports regarding, people we could bring in to talk with parents on how to work with their children at home, coping skills, maybe people in the HR field who know how to even work with staff. You know, right now our staff is frazzled because we have many, many good people here and they're left questioning. I do everything right. What about me? You know, so we have some work to do with the staff as well. That's what I'm looking for.
And you brought up earlier the coffee with the superintendent at that meeting. It was said that, you know, things online, on social media can damage the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, what case you're talking about?
I'm talking cases in general that the district
so
is investigating.
Against,
you know, there's a lot of rumors on social media.
So against the board or
no,
the district? Or
cases the district is trying to prove. Cases the district is trying to prove. And when there are rumors out there, you know,
I'm not on social media.
Yeah,
well.
No.
Stay away from it.
It just doesn't help us frame a good case if there are other people, rumors out there that might not be true. You know, we have to stick to the truth.
Frame a good case for the students.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you for.
Thank you.
Good, you broke that.
I mean, I've sent it out to you. I was upset the amount of time it took to notify parents. I personally found out from a change.org petition on Facebook, and then a day later, an email was sent out. But the way social media works nowadays with information, is there a policy on the amount of time the school board has to notify parents?
Hi. Very good question. We couldn't react faster in social media with this one, unfortunately.
I mean, social media is just like,
it's too, and you know, we're in that, and if you know me, I try to get out things pretty fast. I try my best. We were still investigating, talking with kids before it even hit social media. That was a problem. After it hit social media. So you don't want to put something out that's in which the details aren't correct.
I get that.
Yeah.
I mean, I just
I actually
had a chance to talk with my
I understand.
Kids,
yeah.
And that was very frustrating.
Yeah. And I understand that, you know, that we get that, you know, and typically we're always pretty timely with these kind of things, but you cannot control what people immediately see and take to their phones, unfortunately.
My second question is, can you walk me through when a report is taken from a child? What are the steps? Like if there's an allegation, like if a child goes to the principal, as you say, like what happens from there? That's where I don't really understand.
Okay. Well, the principal, if it is a serious nature and, you know, it's a claim of bullying or harassment or something, you know, deeper.
If it's a serious allegation.
Parent is immediately, should be immediately called to come in with the child to take the child's statement. Then, they will be usually taking a statement depending on the level of the situation. It could be with the building principal, who is the DASA coordinator, or like something like this, we had our school attorneys running.
And if the parent doesn't think it's good enough or the school acted enough, is there any step? Is it just going on the website.
They could do that. They could do that. They could call, you know, bring it up to our level.
They
can definitely
go.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And actually, you know, when we question kids and with their parents there, we will often say to them, you know, to the parents, if it warrants, you know, if every situation is different, But that is something, you know, parents can always do.
And also with cell phones, like what if an incident is filmed? Like there's proof that.
Yes, we need to see the proof. Parents need to come forward. Kids, that's where people need to know they can come to two people, and you know, we have to see the proof. You know, if we hear that something is out there, I'm going to say, show me the proof, please. I need to see it. I'm not up in a cloud where we could investigate, you know, the whole town. We have to show it to us.
So it could be emailed to that.
Absolutely. Or
that email address.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
you very much.
Hi, Robin Celestian. Can we get this mic to work? Because nobody at home can hear me. You can hear me? Okay, great. Are personnel records foilable? If you have, I was given, when I came up to the high school, I was given a list of teachers who my daughter should not have while they were here at the high school, because it was well known that these teachers acted inappropriately. So is there a way that I can foil the personnel records of a district employee?
I don't believe so, but I'm going to ask if council can answer that one.
So certain portions of an employee's personnel file are foilable, not covered in public. So
specifically, I'd like to know if disciplinary records are foilable.
So disciplinary records, to the extent they're in an employee's personnel file, would be foilable to the extent, similar to what I spoke about before, to the extent allegations are found in their allegations.
So if, for example, and a teacher said something inappropriate to a student, it would be worthwhile to have a letter or something in his file so that there is a record of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So again, for the benefit of the folks out here that are not in the school system, what I explained before was the 3028 disciplinary process. And I said a teacher or an administrator cannot be disciplined or reprimanded without cause pursuant to a hearing in the school hearing process. Separate and apart from that, there's something referred to as a fault letter, HOLT, the name of an old case. It's what's referred to also as a counseling memo. So a staff member can receive a counseling memo put in their file about an allegation or something that was looked into without there being a full hearing. The difference between a counseling memo and a letter of reprimand, I've heard me say one of the potential outcomes after a hearing, is a counseling memo is basically saying, it was alleged by so-and-so that you did such and such, or you said such and such. When I met with you on such and such a date, you responded, you denied it, or you said, yes, you did it. In the future, you are directed to refrain from doing such and such. I'm directing you to review board policies, A, B, C, and D, copy and patch. And this is not a reprimand or discipline, nor shall it preclude discipline for the conduct that's looked into. That's a counseling memo. Those could be in the employee's file also without a foil.
And would those be foilable, Mr. Stemmelin?
I would say generally no, because unless there's a finding, for example, an employee admitted to the wrongdoing or the misconduct, there's no final determination. That's the concept of, is there a final determination that makes it foilable?
I guess that, Mr. David, this question is for you. I know that the K through 6 children received the CDC trainings. I see 7th and 8th grade received the CDC, the conduct and center trainings. Have there ever been trainings done for the 9th and 12th students who seem to be the most common victims here at the high school? And is there any plans to incorporate CDC training for grades 9 through 12 in the coming weeks?
the committee that's meeting is looking for material that they feel will be appropriate for them.
Thank you. Thank you. And I guess, Dr. Bettman, one final question, or maybe this is really a board question. The moral obligation, you know, there are things that go around that are said, and what is the standard for the Board of Education, which, you know, you guys are privy to a lot of things that we are not privy to out here in the public. We send our children into school every day, assuming they're going to be safe. My own daughter came to me earlier this week and said, I don't want to go to school here anymore. I don't feel safe going to school. I have three daughters and a son who go up here to the high school. It is horrifying for me to think that I send them 6 hours a day to a place where they're not safe, where they're having their own Me Too moments in their classrooms and in the gym class and at soccer practice. So where is the moral obligation of the Board of Education to report on the moral character with or without, you know, substantiated evidence for eyewitnesses or video evidence? You know, where is that standard set for the Board of Education? And then I have just one final question after that.
Don't worry, how long do you know? Everybody else do, what do you know?
Okay, or you can say it like that.
Listen, there are potentially always stories and rumors. We can only legally deal with when we have firsthand testimony or witness points forward to someone has witnessed you. We cannot go to hearing and not have that. So we always ask people to come forward. We want them to come forward. As soon as they do, we take action.
My daughter had an incident last year with a teacher where he asked to borrow her female eggs in front of a class. She was 14 years old. She went through the entire process of investigation, interrogation without a parent being present, speaking with administration. And at the end of the day, she was told there was nothing that the administration would do. There wouldn't be a letter in the file. There was nothing that could be done. And so guess what? When something else happens, she doesn't feel, I'm sorry, I can speak for my own daughter. She doesn't feel like there is a system in place that is reliable. And so she didn't come back again to report an additional incident.
I know that investigation was done with the guidance of attorneys. That's what I can say at the building level. And, you know, we can follow up on that and talk about it, but I can't.
So this is an example of something where somebody, you know, maybe there wasn't a rape or a touching, but there was a moral character defect there that was not pursued. And when I had asked about a New York State DASA form or something that I can report outside of the district, I was repeatedly referred only to the in-district bullying complaint form. I was never given, Mr. Stefanetta said, I was never given an outside link or provided any form that I could submit directly to the New York State Department of Education. And I don't want to say go around the administration and the Board of Ed, but feel like I have a little bit more direct control over my daughter's situation. Is there a reason why that form is not regularly provided or that access is not regularly provided to parents as part of our policy? And is there a reason why at that point a moral character complaint couldn't have been made against the teacher as an additional effort on behalf
and if there
of the
was,
student?
If there was, you wouldn't know about it.
Why shouldn't I know about it? It involved my daughter.
Yeah, I mean, if the building of the district made one, you know, I don't know if that's usually parents don't ever find out about the disciplinary proceedings or procedures, unfortunately.
But,
is there a statute of limitations for reporting incidents?
Yeah,
Mr. Stefano,
but
that's
not
information
for any kind of. So,
sorry,
I'm going to
use my
thing.
process that I described before, the formal disciplinary proceeding against an administrator or teacher, there's a statute of limitations, a look-back period of 3 years from the date any formal charges were filed, with one exception. If the conduct that's alleged constitutes a crime at the time it was committed, then there is no limit on the look-back period. So, for example, if somebody allegedly stole money 2 years ago, then there can be disciplinary charges based on that, which is a look-back period of 3 years. If somebody did something that would constitute a crime at the time it happened, and they should just learn about it now, under 3020A, that discipline, administrative disciplinary process, there's no limit on how far back you can use that to bring charges now. I am not going to speak for district attorney's office or criminal cases. I do know that there are statutes of limitations, and they vary depending on whether the crime was a felony or a misdemeanor or something else. That's in the penal law, and that's beyond my knowledge, so I don't want to comment on that. But in terms of if somebody has information, firsthand information, or information that would lead to firsthand information, they can share it with administration. Even if it's beyond, I'll just speak for myself and advice I generally give to clients, that is, even if it's beyond the 3 year window, if somebody has firsthand information, either it happened to them or witnessed firsthand, I would hope that that would be shared with administration, because that individual or individuals may still be employed, and at a minimum, you would be looking into or perhaps more closely supervised. So that's a short answer. 3 year look back could be unlimited.
Ms. Sylvester just said she was given a list of employees her kids should not be around in the high school. Nobody reacted. That's extremely disturbing to me. I'm just wondering if we have any comment. No problem. You don't find that disturbing?
I find it very disturbing.
So not one of you made any reaction?
Can I say something? I was appalled by hearing that. I've never heard that. I know Robin well. I don't have a list. I have two kids in this building.
Apparently, you should have a list.
I don't have a list. And I will tell you, being new to this board, I personally, and I know everyone else here that we've discussed this, have zero tolerance. And we cannot speak to what people did here on this board 20 years ago. I'm going to tell you right now, here at this moment, we have zero tolerance. And that is why this situation, action was taken. You asked a question, I'm just answering that question in terms of from a moral standpoint. We have zero tolerance. We are mothers, we are fathers, we are the community. We feel the outrage that everybody else feels here.
You don't see that outrage.
Well, I'm wearing a mask, but I'm hoping you hear it because I want you to hear that. We are outraged. Outraged. Nobody should be going to school feeling unsafe, unhappy. It is not acceptable. And I want everyone to hear that because that is what this board is telling the community, because we are the community.
So then based on that, Robin's daughter's teacher should have a letter in his file or multiple.
Correct.
And if we then go to the more complex thing, we can try to maybe get that teacher removed.
Are we kidding? I cannot speak from a legal standpoint, but I can assure you that we have gone to the maximum ability, to our maximum ability within our legal guidelines to have done. I'm trying to watch my words here because I'm new to the board and I want to make sure that I'm bound to my legal obligation of confidentiality. But
by doing nothing, that shows our kids that there's no.
Yeah, it matters. We are not doing nothing. I promise you. I promise you.
This meeting is definitely something.
I promise you.
Hey, listen, I wish I could tell you every
everything right now, believe me, I can't. That's all I can say. You can take that.
I wish I could tell you, but you can't. We cannot.
We are on your side.
We cannot. We cannot. We cannot talk about what's in employee files,
unfortunately. Can I ask a question?
No.
I know that because of tenure and the law, that people are protected beyond what should be, and I know the board does not have control of that. When it comes, though, to the moral character of an employee, if that is in question, and if there's Merck's administration here, even if they cannot at what point, though, are these people not put as coaches at school? A moral character issue that this sounds like a challenging issue certain people. Why are they allowed not their responsibilities under their opinion to be face to face with children? And I think systems that are in place fail our children and fail obviously. Check out what systems are in place and why there is something bold in it. But there really is no excuse. This is a welcome secret that these teachers have access to school. Not to school.
Thank you.
You're right. Can you answer her now?
Can you answer
her? She sat down before you asked.
She's right. 100% right.
Yeah.
Good evening. I don't have your position on your end. Thank you very much. I think he's held here for the right reasons, and we do feel the change is going upon. But I want to point out one of the things, as much as we were negative about social media and everybody talks about the, you know, the downside and the negative, what has come apparent is if you didn't know about the list of teachers, you're hearing people are starting to say, you've been hearing rumors, I've complained and nothing's happened. I've written an email and the principal did nothing of it. As mandatory reporters, all educators need to follow up. We don't know when there's a letter of reprimand in somebody's file, but there's got to be progressive disciplinary action. And it would appear to any of us who now know that certain names have come up multiple times, these people are indeed coaches. They're still holding their positions, even though they might have moral character reprimands. Dating back, we've had people say 10 years at least, some of these teachers make one, right? And it doesn't feel like progressive disciplinary action is taking place because the same type of incidents are being reported. Even if the findings are, we're going to reprimand and counsel him, there comes a point where you do lose your coaching ability because coaching doesn't have the same protection. And I personally, as a teacher myself, have filled into it. I've been a party to a lot of this, and I've seen it happen. You lose those positions. Our teachers have them. And we've had some people, teachers, and parents don't feel like there's been a follow-up because we don't hear, you know, we don't even hear there's a file put in. If they're not suspended, this is the first time we've visibly seen that the action takes place. We know somebody's going to move. If they don't get suspended, but one parent says, I've complained about them, another parent said, I've complained about him, it doesn't. But at some point, you do have to have an answer, or you know, there has to be an answer for the parents. So,
Thank you.
We'll be back then. Yes, we'll be here Tuesday at 7. Yes, 7:30.
Okay. I have one last question. The gentleman, your lawyer here, said, everything you said about the pursuing the case order, maybe he said, but if the superintendent further pursues it, they can do this. And he said, blah, 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 very concerning for it. But if the superintendent goes to it, it gets hurt. All you can pursue it to the max.
And if I could just say, this is 5 days. Like, we heard about this on Monday, and we're here on Friday night. So, you know, we're doing the best we can, I think.
Hi, my dorm is in a fuck. I'm wondering why it was decided to come into the middle of a class to remove the teacher. I just don't really get it. It was upsetting.
I can't talk. I'm sorry. I don't think I'm allowed to talk about that. I'm sorry.
Okay. And well, could you explain to me why nobody's reached out to me at all? Still to this day, when my daughter was there.
I cannot talk about the investigation that's being conducted by legal counsel.
Okay.
But we are going based on witnesses and names that are given to us.
Okay. Just so you know, it's somewhat of a traumatic event for the kids in that classroom.
I know. I understand.
I feel
that.
Like,
yeah.
As the parents,
it's thorny. It's thorny. And I will tell you, when the last gentleman came up, you know, in cases like this, we have no tolerance, and that's where I met. Okay, so, you know, we'll leave it at that tonight, and we have a meeting on Tuesday night at
7 p.m.
is the public meeting. Yeah, okay, so we'll be here. Amazing. We'll just adjourn. We want to add a turn. It's on the loud paper.
Yes, that's fine. Thank you.